This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas, powered by U Mobile.
I'm Wong Xiaoning, and this is The Breakfast Grill. The oil and gas industry remains a cornerstone of Malaysia's economy, contributing at least 20 to 30% to our GDP. This industry has been identified as a national key economic area, with downstream oil and gas development being prioritised. Johor Petroleum Development Corporation, otherwise known as JPDC, is a federal agency established in 2012 and is tasked with that mandate to develop the state into a thriving downstream oil and gas hub. We speak to its acting CEO, Isha Ismail, to find out the next phase of growth and are they ready when the world starts pivoting to renewables and a carbon zero future. Thanks for joining us on The Breakfast Grill. Now, let's start with the premise under which JPDC was formed. So for some background, it comes under the Malaysian Petroleum Resources Corporation, which is itself under the Economic Planning Unit under the Prime Minister's Department. I want to know the coordination and collaboration between yourselves and the state government.
So we work closely with the state government, with the Economic Planning Division of the state government and with the District Office of Kota Tinggi. In terms of developing the master plan, we involve not only EPU, but also the state government, as well as the industry players. And the collaboration continues during the construction phase of the projects, where we coordinate between the investors and the state authorities in terms of land acquisition, provision of infrastructure, coordination of when we have to relocate villages from the project areas and whatnot. And that coordination and collaboration continues until today.
Okay, but Isa, who calls the shot when it comes to decisions with regards to, let's say, the Pengerang Integrated Petroleum Complex, PIPC? Because there are many components that make up the PIPC with perhaps conflicting agendas and priorities. So who decides between the stakeholders?
We are governed by a board of directors, and our board is chaired by a federal minister and the Menteri Besar of Johor. In terms of policy, development policy, it will be agreed between the federal and state authority. But the investors, we consult them when it comes to development and coordination, but they are not the ones who call the shots.
So it's between the state government and the EPU?
That's right, yeah.
So has there ever been a point where decisions could not be made, that you could not come to a consensus?
So far, we have had the opportunity to consult all parties involved before we come to a conclusion. One very good example is when the federal government allocate about 2.5 billion ringgit to build infrastructure, new infrastructure in PIPC. The federal government set up a working committee chaired by the chief secretary to the government. And issues relating to the project development were referred to this committee. And when we have issues, when investors have issues with certain, for example, roads or drainage problems, they inform us and we raise the matter to the committee. And we get a solution from that committee. So it's all about coordination and consulting the stakeholders involved.
Yeah, but does then this result in delays, actually, when you have to be so consultative? Are decisions made quickly?
Our experience that when we had that forum where investors were able to directly raise concerns to the either the federal or state government, it actually cut through a lot of red tapes.
Oh, so in fact, it's actually less bureaucracy.
Less bureaucracy, very effective, and decision making was very direct, was very clear.
And if we look at the first phase of PIPC, which started in 2012 and ended in 2019, according to the Minister and the Prime Minister's Department, Dato Sri Mustafa Mohamad. Mm-hmm. Now, we do know it's successful. It attracted investments worth 120.7 billion, mainly from the Pengerang Integrated Complex by Petronas and the Pengerang Deep Sea Terminal by Dialog.
Yes.
But these projects have also been delayed due to COVID and in part because of the volatile oil and gas prices. Have they all been resolved already? Are the projects now up and running?
Right, actually, Pengerang Deep Sea Terminal by Dialog was completed and operational by 2014. PDT, they have three phases. The first phase was well completed by 2012. Second phase was up and running by 2016, and the third phase is now being developed. Now, for the Pengerang Integrated Complex by Petronas, they started construction in 2015. And they were actually on target in terms of completing the construction. By 2019, they've actually finished the construction. But the actual commercial launch were delayed by the pandemic. So I understand that they're targeting for the commercial startup to happen either this year or early next year. So in terms of construction, there was no delay. But to ensure that the working environment is safe and healthy enough for people to work in, I think that's where they had to take into consideration of the pandemic effect and safety measures.
Okay, but if I do a bit of digging with regards to the whole PIPC, the original plans also included a Pengerang Maritime Industrial Park by Benelec,
yep.
And then the Pengerang Integrated Development Project by Serba Dynamic, mm-hmm. Which Serba Dynamic has been in the headlines for all the wrong reasons. So are the last two projects I mentioned still ongoing?
PMIP was by Benelec, they have received the development approval. But it's a matter of finding the tenant because Benelec itself is not an oil and gas player.
No, they are a contractor doing land reclamation,
exactly,
right?
And they're looking for tenant. And we've been actively looking for companies or talking to companies who are interested to come to PIPC and been recommending these sites to them. Now, with Serba Dynamic, they've actually been playing the role of service provider for turnaround and repairs and overhaul. Jobs for Petronas. But yes, recent events might have put some spanner in the wheels.
Mm.
We are guided by what Serba Dynamic is next step after they remedied the situation and all that.
So the other thing I've noted is that Dato' Sri Mustafa Mohamad has highlighted in June last year that Phase 2 is supposed to attract 5 billion investments.
Yep.
Now, JPDC is involved in marketing, so I want to know what the interest has been so far.
Well, before the pandemic, let's take a March 2020 as the cutoff date before the pandemic starts. Before the pandemic, we were actually talking to about 20 companies who are exploring business potentials in PIPC. One example that actually materialized was LG Chemical, who has gone into a joint venture with Petronas Chemical in PIC, and they have reached the final investment decision sometime last year. So that was one example of pipeline of companies we're talking to. The others, unfortunately, because of the pandemic and the restriction of movement, closed borders, as well as their own concerns about the market volatility then, they have taken the decision, okay, we will put on the shelf first, and we'll revisit the plans after the pandemic. So this year is a very good year for us to re-explore that, and we're already starting that.
Because I'm wondering whether, you know, this phase two is actually really the true challenge, as many oil and gas majors themselves pivot to renewables.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, like, you know, just recovering from the record low oil prices we saw in 2020 and 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And this volatility works against you. Okay. So how confident are you in getting 5 billion in investments?
In terms of investments that have been evaluated and the investors have
committed,
we are, I would say, halfway there.
Okay.
But some of these investments, like I said, we need to guide them and.
Because I haven't seen any announcements yet.
Agreed. That's a fair point. The last 2 years we've been pretty quiet, because nobody dare make any commitment during the pandemic. Restarting it would require some time. Why we were targeting for 5 billion ringgit of new investment was because back in 2019, we've been getting these commitments from the investors.
Yeah. But until they sign on the bottom line and deliver the check, it doesn't mean very much, right? Especially MOU doesn't have much weight.
We don't rely on MOU. We actually wait for them to commit to a final investment decision.
Okay.
So by then, they would actually be committed. They got the financing, they have the development plans approved, and they're ready to basically start earthwork. So we are very conservative there. We don't simply take MOUs or announcement of investment intent as an indication that they will invest. That's why we wait until they get the FID, and we work towards them getting all the approvals in place.
We are clearly in the race to be a regional oil and gas hub, right? So PIPC takes its inspiration from the Amsterdam, Rotterdam, Antwerp model.
Yep.
of maritime activity, port network and oil supply chain connectivity. So the tripartite of Singapore, Johor and the Riau Islands would probably be the local parallel of ARA. But are we competing or complementing with Singapore?
With Singapore, I believe that we have always advocated complementarity. I mean, for us to compete head-on with Singapore, I would say would be a... One would be trying
they are
to
far ahead,
the
right? In terms of development,
they're far ahead, and I think that there's no need for us to replicate whatever they have there. When we can actually access the level of services and facilities that Singapore offer, while at the same time Singapore acknowledge that Johor as a location has its advantages as well. One of them is space availability. Second is the friendly or business friendly policies that need to be put in place. And third, I would say the determination from the government as well as the business sectors in getting things to happen. Now, I think if we were to look at Johor's experience from 2012 when Iskandar Malaysia started there, Singapore has been very interested in seeing that kind of development. And that has been extended towards when PIPC opened. I mean, Singapore has shown the interest. But then again, the last 2 years have been very challenging. Even Singapore felt the pinch. And we've been re-engaging the parties either in Singapore as well as outside of Malaysia to gauge the interest again. And the signs are very good. In fact, I wouldn't mind telling you that we are talking to at least two parties who are based in Singapore. Who are keen to start their ventures in Perak.
So is the PIPC then just picking up the spillover business from Singapore then? Are we competing on price? Is that why we're getting all these potential contracts?
Not really. But, if you're talking about land price, I mean, it is not simply whether land prices in Singapore is higher than in Malaysia, but what Johor offers is in terms of accessibility, connectivity, infrastructure in Johor is actually quite capable to handle industrial development. Like I mentioned earlier, in Pengerang itself, we put in five new roads, upgraded two highways. We built a whole new drainage system just to cater for the industry requirements. So that kind of industry readiness is what attracts investors in. I mean, and the last five to, I would say, two or three prospect investors that we've been talking to have indicated that this is a place that seems ready for us to come in and consider putting our business here.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning is Isha Ismail, Acting CEO of the Johor Petroleum Development Corporation. When we come back from the break, is the PIPC a catalyst for development for the state? And did the government make the right bet as the rest of the world shifts to renewables and a carbon zero economy?
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to the Breakfast Grill. In the hot seat this morning is Isha Ismail, Acting CEO of the Johor Petroleum Development Corporation, Berhad. Before the break, is the PIPC Singapore's friend or foe? Now, Isha, the war in Ukraine in late February is probably one of the reasons for oil prices to surge beyond $100 a barrel in recent times, with oil majors like Aramco generating record-breaking profits. But at the same time, this has also accelerated the shift towards renewable energy, and Malaysia is no different. So do you think the oil and gas industry is actually really in its sunset years?
The oil and gas industry have always been able to adapt to market conditions. When prices go up, there are ways for them to mitigate and manage the price surge and cost surges. In this case, the industry as a whole has taken cognizance of the shift towards sustainable industry needs. Yeah? And if you talk to the major oil players today, many of them would have some, I would say, credible and solid plans to move towards net zero carbon existence in line with what the world is aspiring to. Shell, ExxonMobil, even Petronas.
Yes.
They have initiated on those incentives. But at the same time, here we are in PIPC promoting the downstream activities. Petrochemicals, as part of the downstream components, is still a very much growing industry because the need of the population from the production of consumer goods or commercial goods or industrial goods based on petrochemical feedstock is still increasing.
But what I do know about the petrochemical industry is that it's extremely competitive.
Yeah.
Margins are very low. And so far, from what I understand, for the Rapid project, there's been at least, what, two major fires and some unscheduled shutdowns. So are we really very good at competing in a very competitive environment?
I think you need to separate the incidents of fire from the market development itself.
Yeah. Development is one thing, I agree.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you want to really make serious money,
yeah,
fires cannot happen. Unscheduled shutdowns also cannot happen, right? So the backdrop is positive, but you as a supplier, if you aren't efficient, it translates to maybe even losses potentially, doesn't it?
Yes. What we have seen is that Petronas have taken those incidents very, very seriously, and they have rectified the causes, and they have make good the safety and health risk involved in the whole development. So when they go for commercial launching soon, it will be with the plans to and mitigation measures for that kind of activities.
Okay.
Now again, the market is there.
Yes.
And it's a fact that Petronas Chemicals already have a solid booking for the petchem feedstock that they are producing from the refinery. And while the industry take note of what Petronas is doing in PIC, unfortunately, the demand that is coming in for the feedstock that Petronas can produce might not be able to be fulfilled. Therefore, it is very important for PIPC to invite other petrochemical players to come in and use the facilities and area that we are offering to fulfill that market demand.
Which then begs the question is, you mentioned one project not too long ago, but there seems to be a lack of foreign investment since the early days of PIPC. The last big one was honestly the Saudi Aramco commitment, right, of $7 billion for a 50% equity share of Rapid's cracker and refinery. But since then, there's been very little news of other foreign investment in this project. So why? I mean, what's the reason for this?
Well, there was LG Chemical, which
yes, you mentioned ago. But other than that?
Other than that, like I said, we were close to closing the deal, but because of the pandemic.
So it's got nothing to do with government policy per se?
The policy making is always dynamic. Even the major oil players, they have not settled on a single policy, a common policy among them. Mm. It's always what would serve the particular organization best in terms of business continuity, as well as returns from the operation. Now, for Malaysia, we have long been a producer of fuel for domestic use, as well for crude oil for export. But we have not really developed the petrochemical potential in full.
Yes.
Now that is where I believe the players from the government, the industry, as well as development agencies like us, have the chance now to realign and put a common policy in place.
So there has there been much engagement with the stakeholders to have this policy?
EPU has actually been actively conducting policy sessions. You may have heard that early this year, MPRC issued the national blueprint on OGAC, that is to coordinate the policies regarding the development of the oil and gas services equipment sector. They are working on an energy policy. It's in the works.
Yes.
And we at JPDC, we have been championing the need for a policy to manage the development of the downstream activities.
Another reason for the lack of foreign direct investment in this PIPC is the unwillingness or basically the challenge of relocating existing residents. Or has that already been resolved?
It has not in entirely, because when we opened the space for Petronas Pengerang Integrated Complex, we need to relocate about 7 kampungs. That involves about 1,000 families.
Yeah.
And this is where the Johor State government had been very helpful, and they're instrumental in coordinating and managing the process.
But you are in charge, right? JPDC takes care of the relocation procedure, compensation, and the cost of relocation. That I mean, which is borne by the investor, right?
That will be state government.
Okay, that's state by government. Yeah. Okay.
But we coordinate the whole process.
All right. But then upfront payment is required, right, for the process to begin. Groundworks cannot take place until after 2 years later when the relocation is complete. So are those, I would say, impediments to investors wanting to come in?
I would say one factor, but I wouldn't say that it is the ultimate stumbling block. Because when we talk to companies, they understand the challenges. In fact, when a company go into any part of the world where there are residents that need to be considered to be relocated, I mean, it's a process that we all need to digest and manage.
Okay, so another thing I noticed is that JPDC's mandates, one of which is to enhance inclusiveness towards an equitable society with more access to economic opportunities in PIPC. But do you think this outcome has been achieved? I mean, since then, has JPDC ensured that the locals can participate economically either via well-paying jobs or maybe even encouraging entrepreneurship in the region?
We have actually, because when Petronas started construction in 2013, for example, we were involved in the process of getting workers for the construction work, and we actively and openly engaged the local communities, inviting them to look their job positions for construction. But these are construction work, so they are not permanent. Over and above that, we have been conducting upskilling and reskilling programs for industry manpower since 2013 until now. Over the years, we have trained about almost 7,000 manpower, including university graduates, as well as skilled workers.
Are they from the area or they just...
They're all Malaysians.
Okay.
With, I would say, 40 to 50% of the participants coming from Pengerang and Johor.
Right.
So we have been conducting that. And last year alone, we have conducted training for 1,050 trainees for various levels of trades in refinery and petrochemical operations. And I'm glad to share with you that all 1,050 trainees were immediately hired after they completed training. So our target at JPDC, we don't only train, we make sure that when we train, these people will get jobs immediately after training. And that is one way for us to assure the locals that, look, this is in your backyard, this is in your kampung, you can see the construction, the work happening, you are actually part of it, you can be part of it, but allow us to give you the right kind of skills. The other component is about how can local businesses take part. Now, these are oil and gas industries, and the Pengerang folks only knew about these industries maybe 10 years back. So what we've been doing is we've engaged the state government as well as GPU, and we've been impressing on them that there is a need for us to develop local contractors, give them the right competencies, qualification, as well as push them to be registered with the likes of Petronas, as well as the major contractors, so that they are able to get jobs with the industry. Now, when they can get jobs, then they are able to hire the people that we train. This is a bit delayed because of the delay in PIC's launching, but we already have a pilot program in place. We already have local contractors who we are grooming and giving the support to get the competency and qualify for the job. And I would say that by next year, we should be able to get more local companies to qualify for this program.
On that note, thank you for your time today. And Breakfast Grill was Issa Ismail, Acting CEO of Johor Petroleum Development Corporation Berhad. I'm Wong Shaoning, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, where unlimited potential begins.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.